Joshua 24, I have entitled the message this morning, Intentional Legacy. Intentional Legacy. I don't know how often you think about your legacy, but I hope you do. One day you and I are going to leave a legacy, I hope a lasting legacy, to the people behind us, those that we did our best to try and help and reach and so on and so forth. An intentional legacy. Now, Joshua 24, we're going to look at several verses here, but you recall, I know most of you in here know your Bibles and know where I'm going with this. Joshua now is coming, and he is now at the end of his ministry and really his life, and he's going to give some last statements and last words to the people. Now, if you will, let's see, I was going to read quite a bit, but let's jump down, if you will, let's go to verse 14. I was going to read the whole chapter, but I better not. Let's go to verse 14. Are you there? Thank you, brother. All right. He says, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Notice verse 15. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you," personal decision, "this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." Notice what he says though. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's a legacy right there, ain't it? Joshua said, now I'm going to let you know real quick here. I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'll speak for my family. They'll serve the Lord as well. As you study the Bible, study what the Bible says, but also study what the Bible doesn't say. That's a good habit to learn. Because you know what the Bible doesn't say? It doesn't give us a response from the wife and kids. "Oh, hang on, John. Now that's what he says, but we'll do our own thing." That's what he said, but don't speak for us now. I don't like when people speak for me, you know. Hey, we're not in this together. It doesn't say that, does it? You know why? Because his wife and kids were standing behind him and they were going, "We agree with that. We completely agree with that." Joshua had done such a job with his family that he put a lasting or an intentional legacy right there in the home. He said, "I want you to remember me not as a great general, not as a great battle-hardened soldier," which he was, but as what? A faithful man of God. Joshua, at the end of his life here, does not say, "Now you remember all that I did for you. You remember all the battles I went through for you. You remember all the things that I endured." No, what's he say? "I want you to know one thing before I die. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And that ought to be our goal. We're going to serve Christ until we take our last breath. I mean, we may come into heaven sideways with both bumpers hanging off, but we're gonna make it, right? We are going to serve God faithfully. I hope you have a lasting legacy. I'm reminded of the story of there was two presidents that a father and son. One was John Adams and John Quincy Adams, and then the other set was the Bushes, right? But John Adams and John Quincy Adams, well, one day they came, and after both men had passed away, they found both of their journals. They started reading through them, and they found several with the same date. So both of them had written an entry on the same date, and they found one very interesting. And in John Quincy Adams' journal and John Adams, and then John Adams, the father, he wrote down and he said, "Took my boy fishing today, caught nothing, waste of a day," period. Well, they found the same date in John Quincy Adams' journal, the son. And guess what he wrote? "Went fishing with my daddy today, best day of my life." Isn't that a legacy? Now, I don't know if John Adams, the father, ever knew that, but you think about, how do our kids and grandkids, and maybe if you don't have any, your nieces and nephews or whoever it is that you influence in your life, how do they see you? How do they see me? We got to leave a legacy this morning that is something that exalts the Savior, and we say, "I want to emulate Him. I want to be like Him." I want to say a few things again here, that the Bible's clear. Our number one goal as parents, grandparents, or if you are a niece, an aunt or uncle or whoever you are, our goal is to teach the kids this book. We ought to teach them. We've got to teach them the book. We've got to show them the way. Now, back in chapter 1 of Joshua, he says that this book of the law, chapter 1, verse 8, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now remember, this is the Lord speaking now to Joshua. Joshua's just taken the scepter, or the throne, if you will, from Moses. There it is. Thank you, sir. You shall what? Meditate therein, day and night. You know the world took that word meditate or meditation from us? They didn't come up with that. That's a Bible word. You got transcendental meditation. You got the gurus over there in the East. You must meditate. No, that's a Bible word. Meditation on the word does you good. Meditate means to be quiet, sit still, and meditate on what you've just read. Don't gloss over the Bible. Don't just speed read through your Bible reading every day. Take time. Go through it. Meditate. He says you take and meditate it day and night that thou mayest what? Observe to do all that's according written therein. He says, I want you to do it. Remember what we studied last week? Jesus said, I'll liken you to a man who hears the word and doesn't do it. He builds a sandcastle. But I liken you to a man who hears the word and does it, and he builds his house upon a solid foundation, a three-stage concrete process. Man, that thing is solid. And you think about now, he says, you do it. Then notice what he says. For then, after you've heeded the word, meditated upon it, applied it, do it, thou shalt make thy way what? Prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. The one time in Scripture we use the word success or being successful is found in this portion of Scripture. What does it have to do with? The context. It's the Word of God. If we're going to create a lasting legacy, may it be founded upon the Word of God. This Bible right here that I hold is my grandfather's Bible. And when he died, I found it in his office. And I asked, I said to my family, I said, do you mind if I have the Bible? And he had several Bibles, but this was one of them. They said, oh yeah, sure. I use this Bible because it is, first of all, it's large print, okay? But it also, it's pretty clean. My Bible in my office I study with, boy, it's written all over. It's a mess. I cannot preach out of that Bible. I get so rabbit trailed. I mean, oh, and then this and that. So that's why I use it. But I thought about it. He had some notes in here. He had some, not a lot, but he had some notes he wrote down. You know that? That's a legacy. I like that. Because when I read it and I study it, and I look at it, I see the notes. I go, man, I wonder what he was thinking when he read that. Now, I don't know when he wrote in it, maybe back in the 80s or the 70s. I don't know. That's a legacy. Can I encourage you to do that? You have a Bible at home, write in it, highlight it, jot things down. Why? Because one day, Lord willing, one of your kids, grandkids, nieces or nephews, whoever it is, they'll get that. They'll read it. They'll say, boy, Grandma, she loved the Lord. Grandpa, Daddy, Mama, they love the Lord. Oh, friends, think about your legacy today. Think about what God has done in your life and deliver that message to those behind you. Now, let me say this first of all. In order to have an intentional legacy, first we must educate. We have to educate. Now, if you still have your Bibles open, go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, this is very, very important. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. Ah, yes. Notice what he says in these words. Which I command thee this day shall be where? In thine heart. In thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What's he saying? Wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, the Word of God. You ought to teach the word too, to the children, the next generation. Adolf Hitler said, give me the kids and I'll have a mighty army. He indoctrinated them very young, didn't he? The Hitler youth. He knew the secret to it. Where'd he get it? From the Bible. The Jewish people knew that. They took the words and implemented and applied it to them. We need to educate our kids. If we're going to have a lasting legacy, we've got to educate them in the Bible. I'm all for education. I like education. We have several school teachers in our church. Thank God for you. But I think the number one thing in our homes that we ought to be educating our kids with is the Bible. They're not going to get it at school. We know that. In fact, they get the direct opposite of the Bible at school. You educate them in the Bible. Show them the Word of God. It's got to be there. Education is important. Following through with this, Joshua says, I want you to understand something. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I want to make it a statement now that I'm not going to teach them certain things. I'm not going to show them certain ways. I'm going to show them the way of the Bible. If you know anything about Joshua, Joshua goes down in history as one of the greatest military generals in all of human history. In fact, at West Point, they still study Joshua, the book of Joshua. They're required to read the book of Joshua because for the first time in really military history up to that point, every battle consisted of an army sitting on a grassy knoll here and the other army sitting up here. And as the movies show, they converge down in the valley and they just destroy each other. It's just a bloodbath. Well, God told Joshua, I want you to do something a little bit different. I want you to go forward, and when you come forward like you usually do, the only thing they know to do is to come out to you and fight you head on. And he says, but I want you to take several platoons and go and flank the sides and go to the back. And he says, when you get to the city, all the men are come out of the city to fight. I want you to send up a fire, a smoke signal. And when they come out forward, we're going to act like we're scared and turn around and run back. And they're going to go, yeah, keep going where you came from, wimps. And they turn around and see the smoke of the city. Go. So they turn around and run back to the city. And when they do, the whole army turns around and they converge on them front and back. Very fascinating to study. That's what God gave to Joshua. And Joshua learned that not from particularly Moses. He didn't learn that in the books. Where did he learn it from? God Almighty. The Lord led him. And because of that, his children and family sat back and watched Joshua lead and watched Joshua follow the Lord. My friends, today, we don't need more daddies teaching the boys how to look down the barrel of a gun or under the hood of a truck, although those are good things. We don't need mama showing us how to do this and that. I think more of our teenagers today know more about what's going on at Hollister and H&M and everything else, and our boys know more about the barrel of a gun and the inside of a car and everything else than the inside of this book. I'm preaching to myself here. Oh boy, I was thinking about everything I want to buy last week. I'd like to buy that if I had money. You know, I'd like to buy that and that and that, the Bible. And I'll tell you this right now, and I know this to be true. Our kids one day when they get adults, and you know this, adults, you know this. When they get to be adults, they're going to be sitting on the edge of their bed and their marriage is having trouble and it's falling apart and their finances stink. And they're just, you know, it stinks. Life is difficult. And they're not going to look back and go, man, I'm glad daddy bought me that and mama did this for me. They're going to look back and go, what did daddy teach me in the Bible? I don't know how else to explain it. But I get phone calls often. Brother Tim, what should I do? You know what they're looking for? They're not looking for me to give them some philosophical answer. You know what they want? The Bible. Tell me what the Bible says. Tell me what God says. And boy, I better know the Bible if I'm going to give them an answer, right? I'm telling you today, our kids, our grandkids, your nieces and nephews, whoever it is, they're looking for answers today from the book, from Almighty God, not from Brother Tim, not from so-and-so. They want to know. We got to educate them in the Bible. I want to encourage you to write your grandkids and kids or whoever it is, write them notes. Say, I'm praying for you today. Text them. Boy, it's not hard to do that. Text them. Let them know. I'm praying for you. I want you to know I'm praying. I'm hoping God will use you. Send them a Bible. I know they may laugh at it, put it aside, but they'll remember that. Right in the inside of a Bible. I was at the thrift store the other day, and there's all kinds of Bibles at the thrift store. I opened one up, and sure enough, on the fly leaf of the front, it says, to so-and-so from Grandma, wanted to let you know that I love you, and I hope you read this book. Ended up in the thrift store. Sad, isn't it? Apparently never read it. But that's what we need to do. We need to keep pushing them and educating them in the truth. Secondly, can I say not only education, we need to equip them. We need to equip them. How do we do that? We give them exactly what we're supposed to give them. I heard the story of a young man and his elderly mother. She was very sick, and she finally passed away. And it came time for the will and the testament, the trust and all that to be dispersed out. And he said, boy, what did I get? And they said, well, your mama left you her Bible. He said, her Bible? You got to be kidding me. He was upset. And sure enough, so the attorney or whoever it was there handing out the stuff handed him this big, thick Bible. Here you go. That's her Bible that she loved and cherished. He said, I know. Here it is. Bible. He got mad. He took it home and he threw it on his desk. And for the next 20 years, it just sat there, collected dust, until he got sick and died. And his grandkids came in, going through all of his stuff, and they found the Bible. They said, oh, this is Grammy's Bible. Look at it. And they opened it up. And on the fly leaf, it said, son, I love you. I'm praying for you. I want you to have this Bible. I want you to have this Bible. And they started turning page after page. And you know what was in between every page? A $100 bill. They counted it up. There was $150,000 in that Bible. What a fool. What a fool. Out of pride, arrogancy, disdain for the things of God. What he missed out on. His mother was trying to show him, I want you to follow him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We need to equip our children, the ones behind us. 2 Timothy 3, you don't have to turn there. He says that the man of God is truly furnished. What is he talking about there? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, 17, he says the word of God. It's quick, or that's Hebrews 4. He says the word is inspired, inspiration of God. He goes on to say that the man of God that follows the book, he's thoroughly furnished. I said it before, but we have everything we need to follow God. We have everything we need to be successful in this life. We have too many people failing today. Oh, they fail. They fail, they fail. Why? Because they don't know the book. They don't have the book. Paul goes on to say in the book of Philippians, very famous verse, but he says what? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now that doesn't mean we have this, again, I remember in school, we had that in the locker room and stuff. Oh yeah, we're going to go out and win the game today because God, Christ can strengthen us. That's not what he means. You know what he's talking about in that context? Giving. He's asking the church at Philippi to give to the work of the Lord. And he says, I can do all things I am supposed to do, not want to do. I can do all things through Christ. What? What I'm supposed to do. People struggle with that. Well, I can't do it. I struggle again. Got a call just recently. Brother Tim, help me. I messed up again. Have you been in the book? No. It's been hard, man. It's been a struggle. There's no excuses. You've got to help yourself a little bit. I mean, I said this past week, I said, you've got to give God a chance in your life. We never give God a chance. We want God to just bless us and encourage us and get us off those drugs and get us out of that addiction of pornography. Get us, oh, Lord, just do it. Oh, osmosis overnight. Just do the process. No. You got to give God a chance. Okay, God, here I avail myself to you. I've been studying the book. I've been praying. And God says, okay, now I can work. Now I can use. We need to equip, not only educate, equip those behind us. Equip them. Know that Joshua said, I want you to understand something, that as for me, first, foremost, there's the testimony, there's the respectability, there's the rapport that he had with his family. It's sad to say that if we stood up today and said, as for me and my house will serve the Lord, they may laugh at us because they know me. They know Mama. They know the hypocrisy that's there. They so trusted Joshua that he said, I have the confidence to stand up and say that I'll serve the Lord and I'll speak for my family. By the way, the leadership shown there in the home will serve the Lord. We'll serve the Lord. Again, not only educate and equip, I have thirdly, we need to encourage. We need to encourage. We encourage them to go the right way. You know, the average person today has no encouragement. I mean, when's the last time somebody patted you on the back and said, hey, good job? It doesn't happen. We'd like it to. I mean, you'd like the kids to be up and ready and breakfast on the table at 6:30 in the morning and everyone go, thank you, Dad, for going to work. There goes Daddy to work, get us money so we can survive, you know. You want the, no, it ain't going to happen, is it? Mama, thank you for taking care of the house, laundry, feeding us, taking care of all the things. Grandma, thank you, praying for us and doing all that. Thanks, Daddy, for not going to work and running off with another lady. I mean, honestly, right, you'd sometimes want to pat, thank you, Brother Tim, for coming to church and showing up. We don't get it. We don't get that. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, oh, I believe it's verse 21. I think it is, Brother Ryan. It talks about the father. Oh, yes, he's on it. Fathers, notice, provoke not your children to anger. Oh, I'm guilty of that. Notice what it says, lest they be discouraged. You know what discouragement is? It's pretty simple. The prefix D-I-S means without. Without courage. You know what without courage is? Depression. You know what without courage is? Anxiety. You know what without courage is? Bad self-image. That's the vast majority of our young people today. You know what discouragement is? Misidentification. Whatever they call themselves today. I mean, can't figure out what they are. And I'm trying to be very nice about it, but I went to a restaurant the other day and the person waiting on me, I honestly didn't know what they were. And I was trying to be very kind. I didn't know what to call. So I didn't even say ma'am, sir, nothing. I just said, thank you. You know, they don't know what is that? Discouragement. They have no courage. There's no courage in our kids. And I said this before and I'll say it again. It's very difficult to understand this, but we often assume the emotional health of our kids falls on mama. It doesn't. The New Testament speaks of it towards the father. The father, us men, we have no emotions, right? I mean, seriously, when's the last time you cried? I don't know. I can't. We really have no emotions. There are some men that do have emotions and thank God for you. But think about it. It's falling back on the dad at home. And it says, don't provoke them to anger lest they be discouraged. More young ladies are discouraged today and not encouraged because of the lack of a dad. encouraged. That means courage within. That's what it is. We need to encourage the generation behind us, if we're going to leave this legacy, to follow the things of God and to seek the things of God. Matthew chapter 3. Oh, let me see. Find what verse it was. It just came to me on the top of my head. Hang on. Matthew 3. Oh, verse 16. Matthew 3, verse 16. And Jesus went, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and the Spirit of God, descending like a dove, lighting upon him. Next one. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, notice, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, notice chapter 4, verse 1. The very next one. Next verse says what? Chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, notice something here. Before the temptation came was the affirmation. Before the temptation was the affirmation, the affirming. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Then went to the wilderness to be tempted. Oh, that was a horrible time, wasn't it? Horrible time. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights and was hungered. And remember this, Satan hits you when you are at your worst, when you're having issues in the marriage. Why does he bring some girl along the way? Isn't that true? I mean, when you are having issues, financial problems, why does he put that thing in front of you want to purchase? Go into debt, further debt. That's what he does. When you're having your lowest time mentally or spiritually, emotionally, that's when he comes and starts knocking on the door. But I want you to notice this, the encouragement involved. God is setting an example for us, and he says, before he goes into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, I want to affirm something. And we need to affirm in our kids, before they reach 15, 16, 17, 18, we need to affirm in them that they can do it, that they can do all things through Christ, that they can be successful in their walk with God. Encouragement, my friend. It doesn't cost you very much. It doesn't cost you to do that very thing at all. In fact, we can do it very easily. We encourage. Again, I read a story just recently of a politician, and he was making some decisions, and they came to his adult son, and they were asking him, and they said, you don't agree with all that your dad has passed in Congress and done this and done that. And he says, no, I don't agree with all of it. They said, well, why don't you speak up against him? I mean, how come you don't go against what he says? And he made the statement. He said, how can I betray the man who sees me as his best friend? How can I betray the man who sees me as his best friend? I thought that was pretty good. He instilled something in that boy. He instilled something in that child at a young age before he became an adult that affirmed, that said, Daddy loves me and knows me. Mommy loves me and knows me. Grandma and Grandpa love me and know me. And when that temptation comes their way, they don't fall. Now, we will mess up. We know that. We're all going to fall, falter, and mess up. We do it every day. Oh, but those big decisions in life that alter a young child's life for eternity. That decision to maybe not be alone with them, that would alter their decision, that would affect their lives now forever with a new child, or whatever the case would be. Those kinds of things, we're encouraging them. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I feel guilty, partly. Because I feel convicted, yeah. But also why? I don't want to betray my mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, whoever it is. I don't want to do that. There's affirmation. The encouragement. We need it today in our lives. And let me say, and I must hasten. Let's go here. We must then exemplify. We must exemplify. Exemplify exactly what we want them to do. Show me, and I'll understand. But encourage me, and I'll never forget. I'll never forget. You ever been encouraged by somebody like that? One time I was working for somebody, and I was doing something, and they came and walked by, and they said, boy, you're good at that. You do a good job with that. When they said that, boy, oh man. Now from then on, every time I did it, I looked, is he watching? Yeah. You know, make sure he saw me, right? I didn't get any encouragement after that. But I thought that one time was great. Because I didn't do a good job afterward. But I think he was just blowing smoke on that. Okay. Isn't that true? You follow through with that. Joshua had a rapport with his family that they respected. And again, I know that some of you have grown adult children that have gone wayward in certain ways, and that's not your fault. We take responsibility for our own lives. And for grown adult children to turn around and blame mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa, they're wrong. That's not right. Maybe you didn't do everything right, but listen, it's their responsibility now. And all you can do is pray for them, love them, encourage them, and do what you can. But I want to encourage you to do that. Well, the last thing here I want to say is we exemplify. We truly need to exemplify what we want them to do. What do we want them to do? Let's go to Philippians 4 and verse 9, or look up to the screen. Philippians 4 verse 9, and we'll conclude some thoughts here. Paul made it clear to the churches in which he preached to, encouraged, and helped. He did it first before he commanded it. Philippians 4, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. And then underline this word, do. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I like that. The entire chapter of chapter 4, you ought to read it. You know what he said? The things you've seen in me, you've learned, you received, you heard, do that. He goes on later to say, as soon as I stop, or if I ever stop following Christ, you stop following me. We have too many man worshipers today, don't we? Oh, follow this man because he's a great man of God. Do this and that. And then even when that man goes into sinful behavior, they still follow him. You don't do that. I joked with a lady. She came and visited our church and she said, what kind of church are you? And I told her what kind of church we were. And I said, come back tonight. We're going to have Kool-Aid Sunday. She didn't laugh at that. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. And my wife said, don't say that stuff. She always has to help me. Don't. You didn't say that, did you? I said, yeah, I said it. She's like, oh. Well, we joke about it now. I won't say who it is, but she's funny. We joke every time now. How's it going? Kool-Aid Baptist Church. What'd they do? They followed a man. Those people, didn't they? They followed a man, not the Bible. We come back to Paul says, listen, if I stop following Christ, what you see in me, what you've learned, what you've heard, what you've received, you do that. I'm not telling you to do something that I don't do. And that's exactly where we are today in our churches and in our families. We tell people what to do. Pastors, I'm pointing the finger exactly to me. I tell people what to do. I preach at them. And then what? I don't do it. And nobody's going to follow a person like that. Nobody will. A leader trusts his back to the people. He's not behind them with the prod. You know, come on now, get going. No one will follow that. We trust our back to the people. We lead from the front. That's what Moses preached. That's what Joshua preached. That's what they exemplified. They showed forth an intentional legacy. We need to be intentional about that. We have limited time on this earth. And soon, as both James and Peter put it, as the grass grows and even the flower of the grass sprouts up and it's beautiful, but it quickly withers. Why? Because it's short-lived. Except our weeds here. Those things are nasty, right, brother? I mean, they will not die. And that's true, isn't it? Our time is limited. Our time on this earth is very brief. And we ought to, and you know where I'm going with this, we ought to leave this legacy that is not of, boy, I'm glad grandma left me the money. I'm glad that is a good thing. I know you gave them some investments. You split up some of that inheritance. That's good. But overall, they would say, I'm glad daddy left me something like this book, like this. We're not going to do our best all the time. We're not going to be where we should be all the time. Paul would be the first one to admit that. Joshua would be the first one to admit. You remember an incident in the life of Joshua where he messed up. He didn't seek the Lord like he should have. And those fellows came and they deceived Joshua and the people into thinking they were someone they weren't. And he got rebuked by the Lord, corrected by the Lord. We're not always going to be where we should be, but how about today we go ahead and start that lasting legacy and say, I'm going to go ahead and do what I'm supposed to do to try and help the generation behind me. I'm going to do what I can and supposed to do to help those around me. I said before and I'll say again, you may be a nobody to the world, but you're the world to somebody. You think you're nothing. Teenage girls, you're the world to somebody. Your siblings, boy, they look up to you. Your cousins or friends, they look up to you. Show them the way. Show them the way. Again, mom and daddy, you got people looking up to you. You're a nobody in the world. All of us are. If you live as light in this world, the dark world, you ever walked into a dark room, flipped on the light? What's the first thing they say? Oh, turn the light off. Isn't that true? You're the salt. You put salt in a wound or salt, it burns, it stings, it's irritating. Why? Because this world is not our home. We studied that on Wednesday night. John says, don't get used to this place. Don't get comfortable. Don't put your stakes down too deep into this soil because we're soon going to be gone. And you and I leave a legacy here that will be lasting. I want to pray for you this week and encourage you to think about that. Let your kids know. Let your grandkids know. Let your nieces and nephews know. I'm praying for you. I want you to know that. I want to encourage you in that light. I want to encourage you to read the Bible, whatever you want to say, but do that. Why? You're trying to create something in them. When those hard times come, as they will, when all life's trudging seems all uphill, when the debt is high and the funds are low, that's what happens in life. They'll look back and say, boy, I'm glad Auntie so-and-so, Uncle so-and-so, Daddy, Mama, Grandma, I'm sure glad that they gave me that Bible. I'm sure glad that they tried to implement. Who do I go to pray? I can't tell you how many people, and you think I'm not lying to you? Unsaved, worldly people. You know what they come and ask me? Will you pray for me? Will you pray with us? Isn't that fascinating? I was called to the bedside of a dying lady, about 6 months ago. And I walked into the room, and when I walked into the room, she had grown adult children in their 50s. And the lady introduced me. This is Pastor Tim. As soon as she said that, they both stood up. I went to shake their hand and say, hello, I'll give my condolences. And they ignored me, walked right past me. I thought, that's kind of rude, but I'm used to that, I sat there and I prayed. She was in a medical-induced coma at that time. And I prayed with her. The lady claimed that she was saved and so on and so forth. And I was glad for that. And I went through the whole thing, prayed, read some scripture. And then I got up and I left and I walked out. And when I walked out, they were sitting there. And I said, I'm sorry for your loss and I'll be praying for you. Didn't even look at me. They just stared over here, ignored me. I got the hint. I got the clue. But I thought about that. That's sad. Your mother's dying. You want nothing to do with religion. You want nothing to do with pastor, Bible, prayer, nothing. Atheistic people, later I would learn. That's not a legacy you want. And I don't know what Mama did to them when they were growing up, but something went on. I don't know what happened, but I'm telling you, there's coming a day like that for all of us. And I sure hope that there'll be people gathered around your bedside to say, Lord, help us. Daddy wasn't perfect by any means. He wasn't where he should have been most of his life, but I'll tell you what, he put inside of us a lasting legacy that says he loved the Lord and he emphasized the Word of God and he emphasized the house of God. Amen? And I know you are. I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I know that. You folks are faithful. You do this. You're working actively at this. But we could do better. Amen? I could do better especially. Work towards that. One day that's all we'll have. I sat one day, and I'll close with this. We were at a theme park just recently out in California. And I know. Those things are, have you ever been out to those things? I mean, they're hot. And when you got a bunch of little kids, it's so hard and the food is terrible. And I'm just ranting real quick. A corn dog, $10 corn dog. You know that. How much? She said, yeah, that'll be $12.95. I said, a corn dog and a bag of chips. Anyways, okay. I was then, and an elderly black man came up, sat next to me. And he said, well, it's hot, huh? I said, yeah. He said, well, it's hard, huh? I said, yeah. He said, well, you got a good group of kids there, huh? I said, oh, yes, sir. And I went to walk away. I said, have a good day, you know. He said, kids are the greatest investment you'll ever make. And then he was gone, I thought, was that an angel sent from God? You ever have those moments? Where'd that old guy go? He said that as I walked. I thought, that's true, isn't it? The greatest investment you'll ever make are your kids, grandkids, for some nieces and nephews, those that you influence. Isn't that true? And you, dear, precious people, know it more than I do. I want to encourage you with that this week. Think about that. Write that down. Am I being intentional about my legacy? And number one above all else, are you sharing the gospel with those people? That's the most important thing, that they know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Amen? All right.